for today is the epistle lesson found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 21, and then skipping to verse 26 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 21, and 26 through 27. And I read this portion of God's word in Jesus' name. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Then verse 26 and 27, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to understand. For each believer here, the special part we play in the body of Christ. But Lord, help us also to understand that we are, although we are diverse and you've created us in an amazing way in Christ, but there's also unity, a unity in the body that we have through faith in Christ, but that we are called to maintain that unity of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that that might be evident in our congregation, in our families. And Lord, we pray that you would lead and guide us and help us to understand this portion of your word. Help us to believe it and help us to show it in our dealings with one another. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've read through the book of 1 Corinthians recently, and paid attention especially to this section of Scripture, you notice one chapter, chapter 12, that gives good details about spiritual gifts. And then if you skip over to chapter 14, you'll find a detailed explanation of how we are to use the gifts properly. And right smack in the middle of those two chapters dealing with spiritual gifts and how they are to be used is a whole chapter on love. And I know that many times for a wedding, what is the message, or what is at least one of the scripture readings? 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. And it's in place between, again, the chapters aren't feuding, but Christians sometimes feud. So the chapter on love right between spiritual gifts and how they're to be used properly and how they're not to be misused. I'm not saying it's wrong to have that chapter for a wedding. I think it's very beautiful, very good. But we also have it, again, in the context for how we are to use our spiritual gifts, how we are to act in the body of Christ, how we are to treat and value one another. We see, starting with verse 12, we see an example of a body. We're told that there's a unity in the body with many members. The body is a unit, or just as the body is one and has many members, there's a unity, even though there are many members, but also there's a diversity. There's a diversity forming one body. And it's phrased in a similar way, although its parts are many, they form one body. So the one body made up of many members, the many members make up it into one body. The emphasis being on both aspects of that. And the analogy or the point of comparison is the body of Christ is such a body. We read, so it is with Christ, not with the Lord Jesus himself, but what he calls his body, the church. Going on to verse 13, we see the believers described as being baptized into that one body. And for this section, I have a who, how, and a what. And real briefly, the who is, for we were all baptized. Apostle Paul speaking to believers, we were all baptized into one body. Again, that unity, the work of God the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. All who are believers have been baptized into the body of Christ. And we were told the how, that is by or with, and the word could be in with or by one Spirit. By one Spirit. Among Christians, this is one of the areas of a disagreement that sometimes we have and is manifest. When we talk about baptism, are you talking about water baptism or spirit baptism? And if someone asks me, I usually respond by saying, I'm talking about biblical baptism, which is water and the Word and the Spirit. And not to show that it's just my opinion, I like to take people to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, where it shows, again, the unity in the body of Christ. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Holy Spirit using the Word of God to bring about conviction of sin, the Word of God using the means of grace to bring us to Christ, to bring us to repentance and faith, uniting us into one body for His purpose, for His glory, for the building up of the body. And this, I believe, would be the universal body of Christ, all believers everywhere, but I believe it also applies to our congregation, which in our denomination we see as the right form of the kingdom of God on the earth, the local congregation. That's a pattern we see in the New Testament as well. The what here is being baptized into one body. And we see not only baptized into one body, but also all given of one Spirit to drink. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And our spiritual gifts. And the gift of salvation. Are gifts that are to unite and to encourage and to build up. They're not given as gifts to divide and give as ammunition or fuel to say, you know, you have that gift, so you're one rank lower than I am because I have this gift over here. And it happens. It happens, unfortunately. Which groups are mentioned here? We see in all, we are all given to drink of one Spirit. Whether Jews or Greeks, and again, from a Jewish perspective, you're a Jew or a non-Jew, you're a Jew or a Greek, which would basically be everyone else, whether slave or free. The social categories in a society don't hinder or help our relationship with God. We talked about this morning in the Sunday Bible class, the order of creation, how God planned both male and female from the very beginning. And there are different roles. There are uniquenesses there. But in Christ, at the cross, we all have, through Christ, equal access to God. And then the majority of the section here, the one body is diverse for a reason. The analogy of a body is used here to show that there are many parts, many members of that body, each one being important. But yet there's a unity as well. Verses 14 through 16, we see that all parts belong to the body. Verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The foot is not disconnected. We read, if the foot say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Oh, you know what? Because I don't have this spiritual gift, because I can't do this thing, I guess I don't belong. It's not what the Word of God teaches us. There's diversity, and Lord willing, next week we have a continuation of this epistle lesson, and we'll talk a little bit more about it and some of the things that we have yet to learn. The foot is not disconnected. The ear is not disconnected. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So not only are we not to reject other believers and say, you know what? No, you're not as special as I am. We're not to say to one another, God loves you, but he loves me more. Mm-mm. No. We also are not to say, you know what? I'm not gifted the way that person is, so I guess I don't really belong. You're gifted. If you're a Christian, you're gifted by God's Holy Spirit. Gifted in some way you don't might not even know what your spiritual gift is. But God can still use you. Someone with a gift of mercy might not know they have the gift of mercy. They're just there when someone's hurting. There's a place for spiritual gift inventory. There's some value to that. But God will lead us and God will guide us and use us. Use our gifts and our interests and abilities for his honor and his glory. We see also here his sovereignty in verses 17 and 18. It's God who has arranged all the parts as he has desired. Some people might say, it's not fair that this person has that gift and I don't have that gift. The question is not one of fairness. The question is how God equips, how God enables, how God leads for his honor and his glory, for the building up of the local congregation. It's not about King David or King you. It's about King Jesus and his name being magnified and the good news being shared with those who need to hear it. God has arranged the parts as he has desired. Ears are for hearing, and this is obvious, but obviously the implication is to our congregation, to the body of Christ. Ears are for hearing. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And noses are for smelling. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But we see that it is God who arranges the body of Christ as he pleases. God arranges all the parts in the body, each one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Apart from your sin, apart from your sin, in Christ you are who God wants you to be. God can use you where you are. God can use you in your circle of friends. God can use you in this congregation to build up, to encourage, to challenge, to share the good news of Jesus with those who need to hear it. Going on, we also see that diversity is necessary for the body to function properly. Sometimes I've seen Christians that like to gather with people of the same giftedness. And they want to have their own little special club. And usually, when they're kind of wanting to have their own special club, it's not we're less than everyone else. Usually, unfortunately, it's we're more spiritual than everyone else. We're so much more mature than everyone else. But we recognize in the body of Christ, God has given that diversity. He's given that differing giftedness to each and every believer so that together, working together, serving the Lord together, serving our neighbor together, we can see how the body of Christ is supposed to be. We can do things together that we can't do separately. We see that unity without diversity would not be a body. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Unity without diversity would not be a body, but we also have the opposite, and that would be that diversity without unity would not be a body. If we don't recognize the unity that we have in Christ and focus on the diversity that we have, can be disruptive, can tear apart the unity that we have in Christ that we're called to as believers. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Someone has said many years ago, in the body of Christ, there's no one that's no one. And I think there's value to remember that. We treat each other with respect, with love, with forgiveness, with patience, because we're one body. There's a unity. We're on the same team. We're told as we go on to verse 26, the members of the body all share in what the body experiences. There's a shared suffering. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And there's a shared honor. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Does this hand hurt when you hit this hand? Does your head hurt when you hit this hand? Does your toe hurt when you hurt all over? I know some of you struggle with back pain. And I know some try and be really gracious and not complain about it. How are you doing today? You can say, well, my back's a little sore. And what that problem means is it's affecting my emotions, my thoughts, and all the rest of my body. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And in the body of Christ, when one part suffers, the whole body suffers. One part is honored. There's not jealousy. There's not, oh, that's not fair. How come someone else gets recognition and I don't? There's a rejoicing that God has been glorified, no matter who the human agent might be in the case. And then the conclusion and application we find in verse 27 itself. Again, speaking to believers, you are all the body of Christ. You are all the body of Christ. And I know for some in their maybe upbringing or their culture, well, surely he's not talking about me. If you're trusting in Jesus, you're called part of the body of Christ. You are all the body of Christ, and you are each part of the body of Christ. Not just that you all are, but you individually are as well. In our current Christian culture, there are some churches that emphasize the group, and that's not bad. But I think the unhealthy emphasis is you're no one alone. You only count in a group. And God values the individual as well as the group. Jesus talked with the multitudes as well as the individual distractions and disruptions that came into his life and ministry. The woman who touched the hem of his garment. He stopped, said, "Who touched me?" the blind man on the side of the road. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus didn't say, too busy for you, buddy, sorry. He stopped. Bring him to me. His neighbors were saying, quiet down, don't bother Jesus. Jesus showed that he's concerned not only about the multitude, but even about the one. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you all are the body of Christ. Even with the diversity that God has given, there's a unity as we function in the way that we're called to function. But we all, each individually, as believers, have a part in the body of Christ. No one that is to be left out. No one to be excluded. We have a high calling in Christ. Jesus called us to be part of his body first and foremost so that we could be forgiven. He's baptized us. We have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We've been gifted in different ways. Not all the spiritual gifts are the same for all the people. But God can use each one of us to build up our congregation, to build up the body of Christ, and to reach and impact our world with the news that they are dying to hear, even if they don't think they want to hear it. They need to hear it. It's good news that we have a chance to share with them. We can show God's love in our actions, but we don't stop there. We want to win an opportunity. We want to seek and be ready for an opportunity to share the gospel with words. Not just to share my testimony. There's a place for that. But to point people to Jesus. In the book of Acts, in the early church, we saw a church that was obsessed, and I mean that in a good and healthy way, obsessed with talking about Jesus and fellowshipping with his people and reaching out to others with that good news. May that be our focus during this year and in the years to come by God's grace. That recognizing that who I am in Christ is a child of God, not by nature, not by anything that I've done to earn it, but by God's grace. By God's grace, baptized into Christ's body. I have a purpose, I have a place, I have a giftedness, and that giftedness is unique. But God desires that we use our gifts, that we serve him and serve our neighbors to build up our local congregation, and in doing so, also reaching out to our community and to our world with the good news of Jesus in word and in action for his glory and for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen.